Titled today's message, Three Daily Actions to Honor Jesus. We'll be coming out of John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. We are at a time in the Gospel of John where the public ministry of Jesus is near the end, shortly after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. This miraculous sign from Jesus elicited strong reactions from the religious leaders. Caiaphas, being high priest that year, prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill Jesus. Now, Jesus must have known about this organized plot to X him out. He no longer walked openly among the Jews and left town to a city called Ephraim. 6 days before the Passover, the night Jesus would host the Last Supper, right before his crucifixion, Jesus returns to Bethany to be with his friends. Everyone needs a place to relax, eat a meal, and enjoy fellowship with friends. Amen. This is especially true for those in vocational ministry that involves travel. Jesus, in the home of his friends, will receive hospitality, fellowship, and worship. This was one house where he could make himself at home. Let's keep in mind that Jesus was just days from heading to the cross. He was being led like a sheep to the slaughter, to suffer intense physical torture, emotional humiliation, and profound spiritual agony on the cross. Knowing what's all before him, I find it to be an honor that Jesus would come to the home of his close friends. Encouraging. While this passage is given to us in the form of a historical narrative, it is nonetheless instructive. Instructive. Jesus honors his friends with a visit, but it teaches us three ways to honor Jesus. Let us pray. Father, as we take these first 8 verses of this chapter, we pray for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and to speak to us that which is true. If we have had a week of constant immersion in the doctrines of this world, then we have been nourished on half-truths, a diet of lies, just flat-out deception. No word is absolutely true in this world but your word. So we come here today to partake of the truth. Your word is truth. Speak to us, Lord. Because we realize that when we know the truth, we are set free to live out that truth. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We have John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. You could look as I read along these verses. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a litre of perfume, a very costly pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was going to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to take from what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, let her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Then the large crowd from the Jews learned that he was there, and they came, not because of Jesus only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our first point and fill in is that we should honor Jesus in our home. So honor Jesus in your home is your first point. Notice the welcome that Jesus receives in this home. It was a place where he was loved. In John 11, verse 5, Jesus says this. Well, it says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which is Mary, and Lazarus. So their home is a place where he felt at home and he could get some R&R. One other thing we learned is that that Jesus was the honored guest in his home. Brothers, sisters, friends, if Jesus came to your house today, right after church service, would you be comfortable welcoming Jesus into your home? Let that settle. Better yet, would Jesus be comfortable in your home? There are many homes wherein Jesus would not be all that comfortable today. Just think about all the things watched on all the electronic devices or played on the gaming consoles. All the attitudes that are displayed, all the cuss words being used. These and similar acts violate God's holiness and deeply offensive to God. Friends of Jesus, there should be a deep spiritual sorrow that leads to repentance if we are violating God's holiness. As followers of Christ, we must cultivate a home atmosphere centered on his presence. We are called to live for an audience of one. Honoring Christ in our homes ensures our private devotion matches our public profession. Amen. A Christ-honoring home is one where Jesus holds ultimate authority as Lord. This means that if Jesus were to come to your house today, he would feel right at home with a warm welcome as the honored guest. This also means you would not have to spend hours getting rid of or hiding things you would be ashamed for him to see. There's no room, no closet, no drawer, cabinet, electronic device, or thought life that you would mind Jesus probing. If Jesus came to town to visit your home unannounced, would he be welcomed as an honored guest? Honoring Jesus in your home would start with hospitality, fellowship, and most importantly, worship. We'll see that in this text today. He will feel comfortable watching what you watch, listening to what you listen to, joining in your conversations, and reading your social media posts. Honoring Jesus in your home means that his presence is always taken into account. Now, husbands, I heard Pastor Jeremy earlier speak about these husbands. Honoring Jesus in your home means loving your wife as Christ loves the church. Impossible, as Pastor Les would say. Impossible, unless what? You have and yield to the Holy Spirit. Your wife is a good thing. I would have thought ladies would have said yes. Absolutely. Your wife is a good thing. Oh boy, some people going to be in some trouble. Your wife is a good thing. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Okay, amen. Wow. The two have become one. Brothers, we honor Jesus in our home when we love our wives like Christ loves his bride. Honoring Jesus in your home, wives, is seeing to it that you R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect your husbands as scripture teaches. It does not mean being a doormat, but this covenantal relationship includes being a helpmate, not a self-mate. Amen? You should live as one who's suitably fit for his needs. Follow his lead as he follows Christ. Now, if he's not leading in a way that's honoring to the Lord, being that servant leader, I would suggest that you pray and encourage him to be discipled while you're still showing him respect. Honoring Jesus in your home, children, means obeying your parents, doing what they say without talking back, even in your mind. After all, they are God's representative in your life. If you're out of the house, continue to honor your parents with respect. And I have not forgot about you singles. Single people can honor Jesus by leveraging their, check this out, undistracted time to be concerned about the things of the Lord by serving God and others. Also by being what? Holy, both in body and in spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 34. First Corinthians 7, 32 through 34. This is pointed to singles here. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about what? The things of the Lord. How he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world. How he may please his wife. And his interests have been divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Singles should be committing to spiritual growth, serving in the church home, and nurturing community by inviting others into your home. This season is not a season of lack, but a purposeful gift for kingdom work, allowing for deeper devotion. Now, Martha, Lazarus, and Mary were single, but they made time to welcome Jesus as a guest of honor with hospitality, fellowship, and worship. Jesus was honored in their home. And he should be honored in our homes as well. Amen. We are to honor Jesus in our homes. This text also teaches us to honor Jesus from our hearts. So this is your next fill-in. Honor Jesus from your heart. In verses 2 and 3, I see some interesting things that's neat about Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. I believe each of these followers of Jesus had the same disposition of heart, the same passion. But I also see three different aspects of how they chose to honor Jesus in this moment. After Jesus entered the home of his friends, we see Martha is first mentioned. And it talks about Martha, and it's a fill-in for you. Martha honors Jesus by serving him. Scripture says they made him supper. I thought that was quite interesting because as many times as I looked at the text, I didn't notice that they at first. They made him supper. That means all of them had a part to play with making the supper. But Martha was serving, right? Martha is a very, very active disciple, to say the least. She doesn't just talk about it. She's being about it, right? Martha is cooking and serving, honoring Jesus from her heart. Although in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we know some things, right? Martha gets a bad rep being called a distracted host or a worried housekeeper. But let's not forget so soon. Remember, in that same text, it was Martha who had at least welcomed Jesus into her home, right? Now, maybe she bit off more than she can chew. She didn't think about first recruiting a hospitality team to feed Jesus and his disciples. So Martha, burdened by service, sought Jesus' authority to pull Mary away from the only thing that's necessary. Worship. Worship. Praise the Lord. Jesus brought correction to Martha this time in her home. But in John chapter 12, where we are today, which took place at a later date, Martha seems to have received that reproof from Jesus rather well because she was able to serve Jesus without distraction. There was no correction there. Martha was serving. You see no correction. Martha's gift was a valid expression of her love and devotion to Jesus. You see, for Martha, honoring Jesus is serving him, doing that which she loved to do, doing that which she knew best, cooking and serving. Some might say this is Martha's love language, acts of service. I hold one thing certain. The undeniable truth here is Martha honors Jesus by serving him. The next person we see honoring Jesus is Martha's brother. And here's a fill-in for you. Lazarus honors Jesus through grateful fellowship. The scripture simply says back in our text in verse 2 that Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. It would be easy to read something negative into the text and call Lazarus lazy, but that would be a mistake. Remember, in some way, Lazarus even helped prepare dinner. Then Lazarus simply wanted to recline at the table with Jesus to enjoy his presence. To enjoy his presence. He wanted to commune with him. After all, Jesus had recently raised him from the dead. Wouldn't you want to commune with Jesus? Oh, yeah. Commune means to engage in intimate, heartfelt conversation and fellowship with God. It signifies a deep personal connection, often termed koinonia, right? I imagine Lazarus communing with Jesus, hanging on to every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. I believe Lazarus wanted to enjoy every minute he had with the Master, the I Am, the Savior of the world, the giver of living water, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheep, the good shepherd, and especially commune with Jesus as the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is something that we must practice often as followers of Christ, to simply enjoy being in the presence of Jesus. This is grateful fellowship. This worship unto the Lord reflects on his word and his ways, and this honors Jesus. Lazarus honors Jesus through grateful fellowship. Martha and Lazarus both loved Jesus. They gave him honor by either serving or enjoying the fellowship with him. Both actions were honorable. However, Mary's response was uniquely sacrificial compared to her siblings. In verse 3, we don't see Mary plating dishes and presenting entrees or relaxing, gleaning every word of Jesus. But we see Mary giving honor to Jesus by demonstrating her love and devotion to him in a more dramatic way. A more dramatic way. And here's your fill-in. Mary honors Jesus with sacrificial, humble worship. Read verse 3. Mary then took a litre of perfume, a very costly pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. The Bible suggests different expressions of honoring Jesus, ranging from foundational recognition, like belief and obedience, proclaiming the gospel and acts of service, to intense personal times of devotion and sacrificial worship. Believers are called to honor Jesus by actively glorifying him in all respects and aspects of life. Our worship ought to be a fragrant, living sacrifice unto the Lord. It just ought to be. Amen. I found out some interesting things as I studied. This pure nard, also known as spikenard, it was imported from the Himalayan mountains of India, Nepal, and Tibet. The perfume was sealed in an alabaster jar to preserve its aroma. Because this highly aromatic oil was imported through long-distant trade routes to the Middle East, it was rare. It was precious. And it was extremely costly. Some people actually held on to this stuff as one that holds a secure, tangible investment, like real estate, especially land, precious metals, gold, silver, and high-value collectibles. Why did they do this? To ensure that they have a safety net. This very expensive oil represents someone's future financial security, life savings per se. Mary demonstrated supreme adoration by sacrificially pouring out her most treasured possession. She loves and honors Jesus without reserve. Without reserve. Are you loving Jesus without reserve? Sacrificially honoring him? While many people may claim to love Jesus, they are not willing to honor him by being totally consecrated, devoted, being 100% sold out for Jesus. They're not willing to sacrificially give Jesus their time, their energy, their resources. They're not willing to use their spiritual gift to build up the body of Christ. They're not willing to put in the time to bring up their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. They're not willing to leave the pleasures of this world behind to follow Jesus. Many are not willing to honor Jesus by giving him their entire life because they love their sin much, much more. Are you willing to honor Jesus by surrendering your life to him today? If so, you must believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day. Surrender your life to the Lord. Submit to his commands. And then the next steps, begin reading the Bible and obey its teaching and begin to pray for a solid Christian to disciple you. Pastor Jeremy mentioned a set of books that we have so you can get started today. These books are for both disciples, the disciple that's on the meat and the disciple that's on the milk. This process will honor Jesus. It's a humble but yet costly offering. Yet Mary honors Jesus by giving sacrificially. As we continue, I will share two more ways that will become increasingly apparent of how Mary honors Jesus. And here's your next fill-in here. Mary humbles herself in order to honor Jesus. Honoring Christ requires sacrificial humbling of self, which dismantles pride. Amen, my sister. John the Baptist says, he what? Must increase. And I must do what? Decrease. And Mary's humble worship of anointing Jesus hits the bullseye. It's honorable. To pour this costly oil on the feet of Jesus is one thing, but to wipe his feet with her hair is a whole nother level. Mary's hair clearly had the length for it. By the way, did you know that the scripture tells us that a woman's long hair is her glory? That's what scripture teaches, a symbol of dignity, a mark of honor. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:15, if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, her honor. Long hair in that culture displayed the value, worth, and beauty of womanhood. So Mary laid down her value, her worth, and the beauty of womanhood at the feet of Jesus. That is so humbling. The cost of the oil was not enough for Mary. She let or laid down her hair or her honor to lift up or honor the Lord Jesus in humility. Wow. I am profoundly convinced that an authentic encounter with Jesus inevitably humbles everyone that comes into his contact, regardless of who they are. For those who know Jesus realize that being in the presence of the Lord is no ordinary thing. As a matter of fact, it's extraordinary. An extraordinary thing. To worship Jesus, ascribing the glory and honor that he alone is due, will not be something we do as a matter of just fleshly routine, right? This is a matter of the condition of your heart. As our knowledge of him deepens, our worship becomes both more intimate and more humbling, right? A profound posture that honors the Lord. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord that you were at a loss of words or moved to say, I will follow you, Lord, whatever the cost? We must revisit that. If you have not had consecrated times like this with the Lord, I believe it's time to start asking him to bring you to this place today. This was Mary's disposition of heart. She displays total devotion, sacrificing her treasure and social standing to honor Jesus. Mary is consumed with a passion to honor the Christ, her Messiah, the Redeemer of our souls. Praise the Lord. But let's keep in mind, there were others in the room that loves and honors Jesus, namely his disciples. They followed him back to the city where the Sanhedrin, the law firm of Caiaphas and Company, as Pastor Jeremy said last week, that law firm. They wanted Jesus, D-O-A, dead on arrival. However, I did not forget that there was one bad apple in a bunch of Jesus. And scripture speaks of this guy as the one who would betray Jesus. Prior to revealing his name, let's consider another aspect of Mary's worship in your next filling. Mary honors Jesus with worship despite criticism. Verses 5. Look at verse 4. Scripture tells us that Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Jesus, accused Mary of wasting this very expensive oil which he claimed could have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. Judas seemed concerned about the poor, right? But he was not. He was not. This is a smokescreen for his real angst, his feeling of anxiety, knowing he cannot steal this money from the Disciples We Trust credit union, right? Their common money bag. What can we learn from Judas' comment in verse 5? Genuine intimacy with Jesus often seems unreasonable to those who do not belong to the Father. I'll say that again. Genuine intimacy with Jesus often seems unreasonable to those who do not belong to the Father. They need to be born again. At best, they're just worldly observers. There will always be those around who will say you are wasting your life, wasting your time, wasting your money. They're obeying the voice of their Father. Listen, Jesus says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Thank you. Amen. Worship, after all, is to an audience of one. And that one is Jesus. When you love Jesus like Mary did, what other people say doesn't matter. All that matters is that you demonstrate your love and honor to Jesus from your heart. Stop worrying about what others think. Stop worrying about what others think. Stop worrying about what others think. Worship Jesus. Despite the criticism. Worship is defined as a constant state of devotion, obedience, and service to God, encompassing every aspect of life, including home, work, and play. Right? A true follower of Christ realizes that it's a 24/7 lifestyle of surrender, not a once-a-week act or performance in a building where the church gathers. Oh, I'm in the house. If you sing songs but don't apply the preaching of the word, that's not worship. That's not worship. Worship is a daily posture, not just a Sunday song. But let's not get it twisted or jumbled up. Worship is also the song of the redeemed. Sung to who? The Redeemer. It's the praise of the saints to the one who is making them holy. It's something we do for God's pleasure without respect to what others might think of us. That's what I like about Mary. She doesn't care what others think. She does not care if her worship goes viral. By the way, it did. Just think, we're thousands of years removed and still talking about how she honored the Lord this day. She's gone viral. Praise the Lord. Mary was not concerned about how much it might humiliate her. She is bowed low with this costly oil and her long hair to worship Jesus and Jesus only. Mary does not let anyone or anything get in her way of honoring the Lord. But there is one other thing you should notice about Mary's worship, about her act of honoring Jesus. It's also found in verse 3. The scripture speaks of how the fragrance filled the house. This aromatic oil must have infused Mary's hair. The fragrance filled the house with this sweet aroma. That's what true worship does. It leaves its indelible scent on you and everyone around you. When you're in love with Jesus, the aroma of honoring God in your home and from your heart will bleed out all around you. I pray that this sweet aroma, will fill our homes, pervade every single one in this sanctuary today, and wherever your feet may tread. We must honor Jesus in our homes, from our hearts. And finally, point number 3, and this should be Roman numeral 3, not number 4. This is point number 3, Roman numeral 3, if you want to correct that yourself in there. Honor Jesus while the opportunity is at hand. Notice in verse 7 and 8, Jesus corrects Judas, telling him that the poor would be with them always, but they would not always have him, right? I believe the application here for us is to honor Jesus when an opportunity presents itself. And yes, I'm talking about an outward fashion, right? Outward fashion today. That's what I'm talking about. It means doing something. It starts at home, then church, and beyond. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your what? Good works and glorify, right? Your Father who is in heaven. Amen. Mary did not have to check her calendar to see if she could squeeze Jesus into her busy day when he showed up at her front door. Huh? She didn't have to do that. Mary seized the opportunity at hand when it presented itself. She was ready and eager to honor him and was thus able to do so at a moment's notice. While others around her were serving food or simply enjoying our Lord's company, Mary erupted into spontaneous adoration, love, worship, spontaneous. God values spontaneous worship as a sincere expression of love, but it is generally understood within the broader context of a life of devotion. Hear me out on that. It's just not some old crazy stuff going on there. This includes both structured, premeditated praise and unplanned, spontaneous adoration, an outward expression of love. Let me give you some type of example here by question. Have you ever experienced a spontaneous moment of singing praise to the Lord? There we go. Praise the Lord. That which comes now as a natural response, seem like, to our love for him is usually the most heartfelt. Did you hear that? That's usually the most heartfelt. It's just the honor Mary gave to Jesus was authentic and natural, but this honor that she gives runs much deeper. What Mary was doing was also supernatural. Mary honored Jesus when the opportunity was at hand. Now let's continue with the last statement that we'll cover from Jesus saying, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Many people have misunderstood what Jesus said. Somehow they think this was a cruel and insensitive statement to the less fortunate. That's absolutely false. Check this out. Nothing could be further from the truth. no pun intended. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you study the ministry of Jesus, most often you will find him with the poor and destitute. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. That just means he traveled from place to place, right? He owned no home, had no animals, nor livestock, no retirement plan, no earthly possessions other than the clothing on his back and a robe which the soldiers gambled for as he was hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. Man. Jesus was always concerned about the poor, and while the disciples wanted to send them away, you'll remember that Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. That's how Jesus saw them, sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was not being insensitive to the poor. He was merely stating a fact of reality. The poor will always be with us. Knowing the hearts of men, as he does, understanding the greed of humanity, as he does, he knew, Jesus knew, that we would always have the poor living among us. Amen. That's true. I believe Jesus is giving us something to apply here in our life, and that is we must honor him by serving him while the opportunity is at hand. Our opportunity is now. While we still have breath in our lungs, a mind to think, legs to take us somewhere, hands to do some work with. Now, Mary would not always have the opportunity to anoint the Lord's feet, so she made it happen immediately while the opportunity was at hand. Truth is, the opportunities for honoring Jesus in our home, honoring Jesus from our heart, and honoring Jesus when the opportunity is at hand, you know it's slipping away, right? That time is slipping away. Time keeps on slipping, slipping. Yes, into the future, right? Yeah. Well, hallelujah. That's a true statement. All right. So, truth is, the opportunities for honoring Jesus in our home, honoring Jesus from our heart, honoring Jesus while these opportunities at hand is truly slipping away. Seize today to act for Christ. For tomorrow, it's not promised. In closing, does Jesus get honor and glory from your life? And I got that all in your bulletin too, I believe. Is he honored in your home? Would he feel comfortable at your dinner table or with the things you watch or play on any screen? What about the things you read or listen to? It's easy to put on a show for others to see, but is your worship heartfelt? Are you preoccupied with this idea that Jesus must be exalted through every facet of my life? Are you preoccupied with that? I'll share three practical applications to bring honor and glory to Jesus. And that's in your notes too. Number one, set your mind toward Jesus being the unseen guest at all times. That's it. Set your mind toward Jesus being the unseen guest at all times. Not sometime, all times. Number two, set your heart to read and study the word of God, then practice and teach it. The more you meditate on the word of God, the more you will be cognizant of his presence. This will encourage you to live it out and encourage you to teach it. Number three, ask God to open your eyes to see opportunities to honor Jesus. John 5, right, verse 17, Jesus said, "My Father is still working and I am working also. So what does that mean for us? And the Lord empowers us to do his work to bring him glory. Amen. Amen. The more sensitive we are to the leading of his spirit, the more we will be aware of his opportunities to do what? Serve him. Have grateful fellowship in him and with him. And give Jesus sacrificial, humble worship. We will honor Jesus Christ in various ways, right? Amen and amen. Before we pray, I want you to know that this prayer is for the believer that want to rededicate their life to the Lord. And it's also for one that want to receive Christ today. So if you're feeling a tug on your heart today, we go get ready to bow and give you a chance to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So for those who are doing so, if you'd like to repeat this after me, you can. Lord, thank you for your sacrificial love. I confess I have held back, a sinner in need of the Savior, or one who need to rededicate my life to you. Today, I want to offer all I am to you. I believe you died and rose again from the dead, and I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and Lord, my master. Take my life as a fragrant offering, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.